Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
City. It's Monday, March 27th. I'm Jamie Erdahl. Let's get to the point. Kyle Brandt there, Jason McCourty there, and Patriots linebacker Matt Judon.
Mr. Yeah! Brandt.
Judon!
What up? What's up, man?
You ready to roll?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ready to get down to business.
I can't believe this guy's here.
I know.
He's ready. He came prepared, as did we. Time for the lead block.
Lead block. Bloody sheets.
Bloody sheets. Let's start.
3 minutes in, we got bloody sheets.
Yeah, let's start the week with Aaron. Nothing new to report in regards to his potential trade to the Jets. Still waiting for that to come through officially. But head coach Robert Saleh did sit down with our Judy Batista at the annual league meeting in Phoenix yesterday. This is what he had to say about the four-time MVP's intention to play for the Jets in 2023.
You know, just 2 years ago when we first got there, just thinking about where we were and how far we've come, to have a guy like him want to play for us, I think is pretty cool and shows how far we've come. But we still have a long way to go and a lot of work to do.
What kind of update can you give us on where things stand?
I got nothing for you. Joe Douglas will be here, though.
I will refer you to Joe Douglas for answering to that question. No updates from Saleh himself. However, it seems all but certain that Rodgers will be with the Jets in 2023. Still a very strange sentence to say. Matt, what do you make of this high-profile AFC East, soon-to-be newcomer quarterback, but also a guy that is not so much of a newcomer to anybody?
Right. I think the Jets trying to win, and they want to win now. They constructed a defense. They started with a middle linebacker and the defensive line. And they see that their defense can keep them in games, and they actually can win games. And then they beat the Jets they beat the Bills. They went half and half with the Bills. And so now they saying, if we get a quarterback as good as Aaron Rodgers or somebody that can throw it to these wide receivers that we have, who say we can't not come out of the East, but potentially get to the Super Bowl? And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make a Super Bowl run, make a Super Bowl play, and trying to get, squeeze the last bit of the juice out of Aaron Rodgers that he got.
It's a great answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at what the AFC East has done in the offseason, some of those notable moves, because it's not just the East that has made changes. Here, the Bills have been on the move. They've a big one, I think, at this table especially, Jordan Poyer re-signs at safety, but they lose their running backs. They add a running back from New England and Damian Harris. And the Dolphins as well with Jalen Ramsey. That one was very splashy a couple weeks ago. And, of course, they picked up Tua Tagovailoa's option. And then the Patriots, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster says goodbye to the Chiefs. And, of course, Devin McCourty is retiring. And the Jets. The one name not on that screen, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But the Nathaniel Hackett edition in particular is a curious one as to how, Jay, what do you think about the AFC East? How does the hierarchy shake up?
Yeah, the hierarchy, when you talk about it, I mean, let's start at the bottom right now of that hierarchy. And right now, if you're looking at it, Aaron Rodgers joins the Jets. No offense to my guy, Mr. Judon here to my left, but the Patriots would now be kind of last place looking on up. And I still think Buffalo is at the top looking down at everybody. But for the New York Jets, you look at recent history, since 2018, the Jets have struggled in this division mightily. all the quarterbacks that have started for them.
Hell yeah.
And when you talk about struggles, a 5-25 record within a division, this is why. When you have this many starters under center and you're trying to win football games, develop a culture, build a nucleus of guys, it feels impossible when there's that many starters, that many leaders within the locker room. So for the Jets, when you talk about hierarchy, they've been the bottom, the doormat of the AFC East. So you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers, now you actually have a chance to enter the conversation, to walk into the ball, into the dance and say, hey, I'm here to compete. They've been Cinderella for so long, stuck at the house, cleaning up, doing the chores of everyone else, that now is finally like, hey, like, we're here. Now, once you get to the dance, once you get to the ball, you still got to show up. You got to do something. You got to figure out how to make it all work. But if I'm a New York Jets fan, a member of that organization, I'm fired up to get Aaron Rodgers. And as head coach Robert Saleh said, for him to want to be there, think about a few years ago, if we would have said a high-profile quarterback, he wants to go to the Jets. He wants to be surrounded by this amount of talent, these players. So I think it's huge for the Jets right now. And when you look at the hierarchy, they're no longer with Rodgers, the doormat of the AFC East. And they're just like, hey, we're here to play, guys.
So here's where I look at it. I want your perspective on this. I think for the first time, like, since the 90s, and we're going back that far, the Pats are the lowest profile team in the division because all the Brady era and Belichick and even back to Bledsoe when, like, we were kids, like, the Bills are the Bills, the Dolphins are super sexy and all these players, and now the Jets are adding the Zen Ninja Monk and he's going to be their quarterback. And then it's like, yeah, the Patriots, they're one of their best players ever retired, and they added a wide receiver on his third team in 3 years. How's it feel? Because you've been Baltimore, high profile teams, you've been in New England, everybody's looking. How's it feel to, never mind the wins and losses, like, no one's going to be talking about you guys, the odds are going to be all against you, low profile, low buzz. What's that like?
Really, it doesn't matter. You got to go out there and play. And that's the thing that you have to do. But when nobody's talking about you and you don't have high expectations, you have nothing to lose.
You like it?
You have nothing to lose. We have, you know, with the loss of McCourty, but we have our defense coming back, our offense. We signed a lot of guys up front that nobody's talking about.
True.
Yeah, to steady up the line. So regardless of who we have and who's talking about us or what type of nuances we have or do we look like, you know, the girl you want to ask to prom first, it doesn't matter. We got to go out there and play. And so once you get all those pieces, you got to work with those pieces. And we've seen plenty of teams get constructed. And you, like, you look at paper, you're like, they got these guys, they got them, they got them. Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously Super Bowl winners. Yeah. But it doesn't happen every year. It doesn't happen every year. So when we go out there and play, that's when you start figuring out. And by the, you know, seventh, eighth game, you're going to see. You know, it's going to be some injuries happening in training camp, unfortunately. But I do believe the Jets were making this move. If they able to make this move, they get better. They instantly get better. They get Breeze coming back. He was having a hell of a season before he went down. You know, Wilson, and then they got, you know,
Sauce and all those guys.
A good but they got a good target from Green Bay that So they're going to look great on paper.
I know.
But they got to play it out. But, I mean, they have a great defense, and that's where you start.
That's where I want to jump off to is that you guys are all looking at, like, the talent on the rosters. The AFC East, this division, it kind of makes me want to, like, I could sit at a bar and just talk about the AFC East for a long time. You're sitting there, like, guy's got the martini shaker, and he's just, like, going, and it's like, what's going to come out? Is it, like, the seasoned, like, bourbon that's going to pour into your glass, like a 70-year-old head coach, or is it like the 49-year-old coach to the West, or is it that 40-year-old guy down in Miami? Like, when you talk hierarchy in the AFC East, look at this new age liqueur that's coming down. You've got a 49-year-old coach, a 40-year-old coach, and a 44-year-old coach between McDaniel, Saleh, and McDermott. And then that man on the right is about to coach his 49th season in the NFL, which, again, Sean McDermott is 49 years old. That man has been coaching in the NFL as long as the next oldest coach in his division. If you are talking about a hierarchy that is going to be shaken up, it starts here. It starts with changes that are being made at the head coaching position. Personnel is one thing, and that, guys, that's year to year. But if a new wave is going to come in this division, I think it starts at the head coaching spot. Bill Belichick, I'm very curious how this season is going to go for him, and the fact that they retain Gerard Mayo within their coaching staff and what he can do as a potential Bill Belichick 2.0. because that is a talented coach that's up and coming that could have been poached to go to a lot of different teams. But you see those three faces, and then you see Bill Belichick, and you're like, what? That is in terms of the hierarchy and how this division could shift. I think it comes down to the coaches.
It's a great breakdown. Yeah, I want to break down which each of those guys drink. Give me the four coaches, the AFC East coaches. All right, so I got McDermott and Saleh both as, like, those guys are drinking protein drinks. I don't even know if those guys drink alcohol.
That's true.
I got McDaniel as a fireball guy, and then Belichick at this point. I don't know, warm milk? What do you think, Judon? What's Belichick drinking?
So
what's
he got? I don't know what they drinking. I'm thinking they, you know, Spotify playlist.
Thinking
of music that they all listen to.
Oh, Judon's producing segments. Yeah, what's Belichick got?
I mean, I have no
clue.
I wasn't born back then.
No, I know.
All right, it's time for another round of buying or keep trying. Judon, here's how we play. We're going to tee up a statement, and then you have to say that you're buying in on this. Tell us why, and if you disagree, say keep trying and maybe give us another option, all right?
All right, let's go.
First question. The quarterback pro days, as we just mentioned, kicked off last week at the projected top picks being Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. They were on Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Friday, Kentucky's Will Levis showed off his arm. He had a great performance in Lexington. Rap Sheet reportedly said Levis has spent time with teams like the Panthers, Raiders, mm-hmm. Titans, Texans, everyone in need over the last couple weeks. Here's the statement.
Okay.
Will Levis is the most underrated quarterback prospect in this year's draft. Are we buying, or are you going to tell us to keep trying, Jay?
Keep trying. Underrated. This guy has already been talked about as a top four, top five. Even somebody saying he may creep in higher. Underrated? Absolutely not. Everything he showed, whether it was combine, whether it was pro day, showing off his strong arm, his ability to run. But for this guy to be ranked this high, based on my own experiences, guys that are underrated are guys that are going to get drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds that are going to play 10, 12 years in the NFL, become Pro Bowlers, all pros and all of those things, and nobody's talking about them. We've talked about Will Levis for the past month leading up to the draft because of how talented he is and how highly rated he is. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say this guy is underrated. His career may still surprise people. Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes out there and outperforms the few quarterbacks taken ahead of him. But for some guys, you get drafted, you have this long laundry list of guys drafted ahead of you.
Yeah, sure.
Will Levis will have a few guys drafted ahead of him at his position that he can say, hey, I've been chasing him throughout my career. Mm-hmm.
We got Judon.
So I remember the wait. It was a long wait. You just see who goes in front of you, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think when you're drafted, you're underrated.
Drafted
no
at all.
Anywhere.
Anywhere, especially first round. You're expected to come in. You're expected to be a high caliber guy. Mm-hmm. We paid you a lot of money. We need you to be a leader in the first 2 years you're there. And we need you to play well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's underrated. If we're talking about you, the fourth or fifth quarterback to come out, I believe that he's going to be good. I believe that he's going to have a long, long career. But if he doesn't, it's still not underrated because you got took it in the first round. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to wait that long. You get to dress up in a nice, fancy suit. You get to go to Kansas City, be there.
You didn't have your nice suit on coming out of Grand Valley?
Man, I was in some Grand Valley sweats, man. just sweating it out, just waiting for the call. But he's doing all the pre-draft stuff. You know, he's on TV. We're talking about him right now. You can't be under it. It's guys that would be drafted. It's quarterback that would be taken in a draft that we never touched.
Yeah.
You know, you never get to talk about. And just like this year, Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the draft. But he's a good quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's just you only could take so many. It's only 32 picks in the first round. So he's by far keep trying. He's
keep trying.
Keep trying.
There's a palpable animosity for the draft in these two. We're gonna plug into that a lot. Not exactly the bells of the ball over here at the draft.
I thought it was going to stay in the commercial break. It does not. It's coming out.
I know. But incredible careers. Yeah. One thing you said, Jay, that I'm into is great cutoff on Levis. Oh. God, he looks great. Oh. I mean, if you're drafting on physique alone, he and Richardson are like Peyton and Leaf. Like, who do you take? Yeah. But I'm going to also say keep trying. I would urge everyone that Will Levis played against Anthony Richardson last year in college, and it wasn't exactly Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield. It was ugly. It was an ugly game with interceptions and low numbers and pick sixes. It was rough, and we're going to have the footage of it at some point. I love Levis because he's got the biggest personality and he's got the biggest deltoids in the draft, at least until Thursday in Anthony Richardson's pro day, which you can see on NFL Plus. But right now, I'm going to say keep trying.
Very good. Kyle, I know in your heart of hearts, you always want the segment to zag, but I cannot. I, too, will go keep trying.
Good for you.
And I will we'll see you. Although now Judon just kind of shot my argument right in the barrel with my next example, because I do think the quarterback that I want to say is underrated. I think he'll go late in the first round, but he's just not a guy we're talking a lot about. And it's the Tennessee quarterback, Hendon Hooker.
Okay.
He tore his ACL late in his season last year in November. The guy threw 58 touchdowns in two seasons in the SEC. He's the fifth all-time passing touchdown leader at Tennessee. In two seasons at Tennessee, he ran for 10 touchdowns there as well against five picks over two seasons. And really two, it's like a season and a half because he tore his ACL. He did not work out at the combine. When I was there, he told me he was just going to be able to start throwing from his feet after his surgery, which he was really looking forward to. Chris Carter had a long conversation with Hendon Hooker at the combine. It was really cool to watch two of them go back and forth. So then Chris Carter walked over to me and I said, what do you think about that guy? He goes, wow, what a CEO of a team. What a CEO of a guy. He's leading without even working out in Indianapolis. And that's what Chris Carter walked away from that conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Hendon Hooker for underrated.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Good morning, football.
It's a Monday, and, you know, we got a list of things we have to discuss. So time for another edition of Monday Mishmash.
Yeah.
While there are a lot of prospects that we are excited to be taking in the first round at this year's draft, it makes us think that there's always a lot of guys, and couple of them are at this table that want the respect of the later rounds or the undrafted guys who ended up having a lot of success. So let's ask this. Who is your favorite draft steal of all time? And this comes with a precursor of we understand that Tom Brady went where he did. He's off the list.
Sure.
He's not the biggest surprise, whatever. Who's your favorite draft steal of all time?
I thought when you said like Tom Brady
was off
the list.
It comes with the precursor that Jason McCourty was also a draft steal.
Thank you.
Okay?
I appreciate that promo. I'm going with a very popular pick right now, and I'm going with Antonio Brown. This guy, I know there's been a lot of reasons he's been in the news lately.
Sure.
I'm sticking strictly to football. Had to compete against this guy. Year in and year out. Sixth round, 195th pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Central Michigan. This guy's first game, his NFL debut, we played against him. They give him a reverse on a kickoff return, and he takes it straight to the house. Was an unbelievable wide receiver. I mean, you look at where he ranks. He's in the top 25 in whether it's receptions, yards, touchdowns for wide receivers. Seven Pro Bowls, five All-Pros. Was unguardable all the way up until he kind of threw himself out of the NFL. But Antonio Brown was definitely a draft steal, performed for a ton of seasons in Pittsburgh, and obviously fizzled out at the end, which we won't be discussing today.
Matt?
What do you got, Matt?
What do you got? Who's your guy?
Follow that up.
Besides me, coming out of Division II, I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. He is changing the way we see wide receivers. We've seen guys of his caliber, the Tavon Austin,
sure.
And that came out before him, but they weren't used like he's used.
Mm.
He's always in motion. You have to find him. He can play running back. He can play the X. He can play the Z. He can play the slot. He can do whatever you need to do. And the way he moves and never takes hits. You haven't seen him take too many big hits in his career. And he can do it wherever you need him at on the football field. The reasons why he was drafted late, I don't know. And we're not going to discuss, as Jason said. But the way that he's changing the dynamic of offenses and as wide receivers.
Double team,
are looked at. Like, at first, you was like, oh, if he's not above 5'10", we don't like him. Mm-hmm. If he's not this size, we don't like him. If he can't do this. He came in, his hands weren't as great. Mm-hmm. He came in, they was like, we just wanted to get him the ball. He improved his catching and his ability to make plays, and now he's basically unguardable. You have to have a safety over top or you're going to have trouble. Mm-hmm.
I think the hardest hit he ever took was when Quinnen Williams picked up a fumble and ran him over and tried to tackle him. But that's not really his fault,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you see him on like plays like that and stuff. Or you see Raheem Mostert take off, and then you just see him coming out of nowhere.
I know.
And so just his speed and the ability to make people miss in space, he's changing the game.
That play last year with Tyreek Hill when the ball was like in a scrum, yeah. He has that like
snap
speed where like the ball pops out and then you're like, oh, someone's got the ball. Oh God, Tyreek Hill has the ball. And he just ran like 120 yeah. yards when he only needed 75. He did it like 200 miles an hour.
No, it was really fun. It was like the craziest play. I'm going to shift gears dramatically here. My favorite late round steal, Raymond Berry, Baltimore Colts. Let me tell you about the Raymond Berry. We have a fifth round sixth pick at the table, a sixth round pick. Raymond Berry was drafted in the 20th round. A 20th round pick, guys. His position, split end, which is like something now like my wife has trimmed. It's not even a position. Split end. Three-time All-Pro, 631 catches when they would throw like four passes a game. He's still with us. 90 years old. 20th round pick. Imagine on draft day, sitting there, you guys had to wait to the third, the fourth. Imagine they're at the 16th round, the 17th, and still no one's calling on that little switchboard telephone.
Yeah.
Raymond Berry, absolutely.
No cell phone either. He's sitting at home, the corded phone.
They're putting a quarter in or like a little pence or whatever the hell they paid with back
then. They're
in the day.
Excuse me, let me connect you to that team.
And they did it. Raymond Berry in the 20th.
In the 20th.
Good quality pick there.
I'm happy that this Patriots gear is at this table because in 2009, with the 27th pick, the 7th overall, in the 7th round, Julian Edelman. The quarterback out of Kent State. The quarterback out of Kent State did not go to the combine, had a pro day, I guess, at Kent State, a speedster. And when he went through his private workout and the Patriots took him, people speculated that they were going to use him like in a wildcat situation because of his capabilities. He just went to kick return specialist. Mm-hmm. He went to wide receiver. He went on to win 3 Super Bowls. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He's working with Joe's Jeans. Like, he's got it all going on. He's Julian Edelman.
Joe's Jeans.
I got a pair from him.
Is that right?
A Mackish jacket, too.
A great partnership with Joe's Jeans. Uh-huh. Yes. But it's Julian Edelman. Now he's in, like, Verizon commercials. It's just, it's all well and good. But what a steal in the seventh, because it's a position change, and his build, to Tyreek Hill's point, like, not your quintessential what you would think is going to be a wild success in the NFL. But, man, something about that era, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, mm-hmm, like, they all just were churning them out in New England.
We got to get Jules on the show, too. He'd
we
be
do,
fun.
Yeah.
More Patriots.
We can talk about his clothing design career.
I'd love to.
Here we go, Kyle. This is where you're going to
go. What do we got?
America's Best Racing announced the launch of season 2 of A Stake in Stardom, which features sports personalities like our own Ian Rappaport becoming minority owners in thoroughbred racehorses. Yeah. If you owned a racehorse, what would you name it, Jason?
Rapshi minority. This is big money. I mean, horses, like, Rapshi breaking news. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The name of my horse would be him. Capital H, capital I, capital M.
That's great,
M.
Jay.
Yes, I'm going to tie it back to football because, as we know today, him can go for any and every NFL football player. Judon gets a sack, he stands up, he does his celebration, and he says, I am him. Stephon Diggs makes a catch, he looks to the sideline, I am him. Any and every NFL football player can be him as long as you have some success. So my horse coming down the stretch, they're going to be sitting there saying, here comes him as he's taking number one place. Him, that's my horse.
Incredible. I like it. Judon, name a horse.
So my horse would be called Junebug Judy.
Junebug Judy.
We need a story behind
it. Okay.
Has a nice ring. Junebug, coming down the stretch.
Junebug Judy by your nose.
Y'all hear it. And it's just, so I think the name makes the horse successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the good thoroughbred horses had good names.
Talk about
so
it.
I'm thinking coming around the stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, we in a tight one. Junebug Judy pulling it off just because he got the name.
It's great. It is fun to put it in the racehorse calling voice.
Yeah.
Mine is.
I can do it for you.
Thank you. Minnesota Ice.
And it's Minnesota Ice down the stretch. It's glorious.
Because
Trevor Denman, love him.
Because Minnesota Nice I had written down, but then I thought, no, this horse has ice in its veins. We're going Minnesota Ice, and it's very cold and snowy there where racehorses do not thrive. Minnesota Ice.
It sounds like a scent of Axe body spray, like Minnesota ice. All over. When I go to the racetrack, and I don't often, but you look through that program, you know, and like they're all the horses' names, and if you don't know squat about horse racing, you just pick the coolest name that like you want to throw $5 on if you were to do that, which I don't. And I just want the name to shout at you when you're looking through the program.
Yeah.
The name of my horse is just going to be "Bet on Me, You Coward." That's what it's going to be. And like if you see the program and it's, and we got Junebug Judy and we got him and we got Minnesota, and one of them says "Bet on Me, You Coward," you basically have to do it. Your identity is just been challenged by the program. So I would throw down, if I did that, which I don't, on "Bet on Me, You Coward." Judon, you tell me you wouldn't?
I wouldn't. No, I like to keep what's in my safe safe.
Look at you, smart. Mm. Bet on
I
me,
like
you
to keep what's in my safe safe.
Safe.
It's a That's wise cool. man.
That's
once
a man
said.
Who sat through them gambling meetings. He knows
that. Amen. So back in March of 2022, the Rams signed longtime Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner. Rams wideout Cooper Kupp tweeted, "Let's go. Don't have to play against Bobby Wagner anymore. That's great." Until the future Hall of Famer just signed a one-year deal to go back to the Seahawks, where he spent his first 10 years playing in front of the 12s. So now Cooper Kupp quote tweeted that one-year-old post and said, "Well, I guess that's I got to walk back on that." So, yeah, Bobby Wagner's back in Seattle with his pit stop in L.A. behind him. So let's talk this. Who is a player that you wished played his entire career with a single team?
I'm going with Andre Johnson. The AFC South had to play against this guy twice a year. He was unbelievable in Houston, and he goes to the Indianapolis Colts, where he plays there for a year. Then he comes over and joins us in Tennessee to become a Titan. I remember Dre being there. I will ask him a ton of questions about his time in Houston. And then we play a Thursday night game, and you get to go home for the weekend. Dre is like, "I'm not coming back. Like, I'm done."
Really?
Yes, retired right in the middle of the season. Was like, he had a bunch of Jordans in his locker cleats. "You guys can have those." Andre Johnson, an unbelievable wide receiver, one of the toughest guys I had to play against in my career.
So I'm going to go with the OG. I came into the league, and he taught me a lot about this game. And I'm going to say Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs was an absolute beast for the Ravens. But I just think that 5'5", and that purple and black, he couldn't do anything wrong out there. And I think that he was just fit for that scheme in that place.
Yep.
Ball so hard, university. It does look odd.
Yeah. I mean, he did go get another Super Bowl. Yes, so congrats to my man. I'm happy he did that. But like, just remember he.
The
legend. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll pass mine to Jamie. Mine's another Baltimore Raven. How about Lamar Jackson? Hope he plays one tier the whole time. I mean, come on. Let's. What are we doing here? We're gonna talk Lamar with you down a little bit. Don't leave. He should be a Baltimore Raven for life. What do you got, Erdahl?
You know me. It was the early 2000s, and Randy Moss broke my tiny heart when he left Minnesota to go to where I don't care where he went, because the second he left that state, the second he took off that purple, I was sick to my stomach. It is a pit that has never left me. I love that man playing wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. 1,200 plus yards in his first six seasons in the NFL. Why, Randy Moss? Why?
2010, baby.
No!
In the Super Bowl. He played for the Niners in the Super Bowl as well. So weird.
That's weird. All right. Okay, here's your guy, Lamar Jackson.
There he is.
Here we go. All right, it's been 1 hour, and now we're going to talk Lamar Jackson. We have to. Matt Judon here.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Lamar Jackson, one team that could potentially consider Lamar, the Indianapolis Colts, in need of a quarterback. Our Tom Pelissero sat down with their new head coach, Shane Steichen, at the annual league meeting in Phoenix and asked him about Indianapolis' plans for adding a quarterback via the draft or a different venue.
I just think every year, no matter where we've picked or any team I've been a part of, you do the work on the quarterbacks regardless, no matter what happens, where you're picking, who you're thinking of picking. You always want to do the research on those guys.
There's also a former NFL MVP that's currently franchise tagged, and there's a lot of speculation about you guys connected to Lamar. How much of it all have you discussed that possibility?
Right now, we're just focused on doing our job day in and day out.
You've already learned how to not answer a question. It's good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Shane Steichen just focused on doing our job and nothing else. Like, well, you need a quarterback to be able to do your job. Like, he's that much. So let's unpack the Lamar stuff, because Matt Judon, you are here. You played in Baltimore. Like, you know what's going on. How does this whole Lamar Jackson situation make you feel as a current player in the NFL watching it unfold?
All right, well, let me start off by first to the Baltimore Ravens fans. They asked me this question.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
But as far as Lamar, I think with him, you always have a chance to win. I never went into a game feeling like any questions. I never went into a game with him as my starting quarterback. Any questions that the offense is going to move the ball or score the ball. And so I think for Lamar to be in limbo is crazy. I don't think we have ever seen a quarterback in a first 5 years that who's won MVP, that's who put up the numbers that he has put up, in limbo like this and not secure in his future. I think you win and you prove yourself, and I think that's what he has done in the NFL. But for him to be in limbo and not have a long-term contract and somewhere he can settle down in, because once you get that, then you get the players that want to come play for him. Mm-hmm. He was in a system that didn't show him his talents. So they said, okay, we're going to get you a quarterback, we're going to get you an OC that so you can show who you are, so you can actually throw the ball, so you don't have to be in a run or in a scheme that you have to run all the time. And so now when you get that, then you get the tackles that want to come block up for him. Because if you do miss a block, he's going to escape the pocket. Now you get the wide receivers okay, he's throwing the ball. And now we're getting one-on-ones because they got to bring a safety because they don't spy for him. And so then you already have a tight end. You have great running backs. Baltimore keeps a good defense. Why don't you lock this guy up and secure your future as an organization, because you have a franchise quarterback?
You know him. We have the images of you two running alongside each other. Knowing his personality, does it make sense to you that this is how this has gone? Knowing what he might be like in that meeting room representing himself, the way this has transpired is that he is holding on for what he believes he deserves. Does that, as a personality, line up with what you know of Lamar Jackson?
100%. He came in an organization and talking to him, and he sat behind Joe Flacco. He didn't pout about it. He didn't fuss. He wasn't even the only first. He wasn't the top guy that they picked. They picked Hayden Hurst in front of him in the first round. He never made a fuss. He never complained. He said, when I get the chance, I'm going to prove and show who I am. Joe Flacco went down halfway through the year, and we were not playoff contenders at that point. Lamar got us into the playoffs and how dynamic he was and the explosive player he was. And then he just continued to do that throughout his whole career. It's unfortunate that he has had injuries the last 2 years that kind of ended his season. But then that's why you protect this player. Then you start building around them. They haven't done that. They haven't done that. And I think when they decide to do that, and when Baltimore does do that, he's going to show who he is. Not that he has to sit in the meetings and say, this is what I deserve. He already proved that on the field. Why not pay him what he's asking to be paid? Because he deserves that. He deserves that. He was a first-round pick, and he wasn't underrated, but he was overlooked for the quarterbacks that he all came out with. And he has outperformed every single one of them. So what's the holdup?
Let me ask you one more. Now, you're in Baltimore. You went through the free agent process, and you had to end up signing elsewhere, going over to New England. Lamar's in a process where now he's a free agent, but he's been franchise tagged. What was that experience like for you, that now you see him going through it, of trying to get paid by the team that drafted you?
Well, so I was franchise tagged by Baltimore as well. And I just believe that him being his own agent and speaking and representing in for himself is the best thing that he can do. Mm-hmm. Because you go into free agencies and you go into contract negotiations and you only hear a small part of what your agent tells you that Very they true. Talk to. They go in those meetings and or on the phone calls and you talk for 30 to 40, sometimes to 2 hours. And then you get, okay, this is what he said, this is what we said, we counteroffer, we did that. And you'd be like, all right, I guess that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Sign on the dotted line. Lamar as a quarterback, that's what you want. You don't want somebody else speaking for you when you're a leader and when you're a quarterback. And so why he's actually sitting in the meetings and he's going to talk to the GM mm-hmm. and to the owner. Why would you not want that from your star quarterback? Mm-hmm. He's actually speaking to you and communicating, this is what I want. But you can be like, well, Lamar, we can't give you that mm-hmm. because we want to build around you. Mm-hmm. So let's work something out instead of trying to like put false narratives out. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know who putting them out, but or I know instead yeah. of leading and saying, well, he don't want to talk to us. This not, he's saying, I want to talk to y'all. I don't want anybody else to talk for me besides me. Mm. And so I think as a quarterback and as a leader, that's what you want to do. I know the top agents, they always get it done for the quarterbacks and everything always smells like roses on the other end once the deal is actually signed. But for Lamar, why wouldn't you want to talk to your franchise quarterback? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to talk to somebody you want to lock up for another 5 years, for another 7 years, for another, you know? And so that's just what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just always been ran by mm-hmm. GMs and agents. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, everybody got a deal. Everybody know everybody. You know, they go out to lunch and dinner with each other. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy that you're going to put your stake in. This is a guy that we hanging our hat on. Mm-hmm. We're going to win. When you talk about wins and losses, I don't have one win or loss on my resume. It's all on the quarterback. Indeed. It's all on the quarterback. You can't say, Judon, your overall record is 75 and 35. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever says that. They just talk about the stats and what I've done.
So, Matt, we can see and they can see how great Lamar is and how much he should be part of the future. You also know the organization, you know the front office, you know the business. Answer your own question. You keep saying, I don't understand why you wouldn't do this. Why would you leave him in limbo? Why are they?
I don't know. When I went to negotiate with them, they told me they didn't want me. So they talked to my agents. I didn't.
Okay.
And so I was like, I really wanted to stay in Baltimore. Uh-huh. But I went and found a home elsewhere, and I'm happy now. And so
what do you think they're saying to Lamar?
I mean, I don't want to speculate or I don't want to say something wrong. And so I'm going to say they keep saying no. Mm-hmm. That's all they're saying. They keep saying no, or they keep saying we can't get this done. But for them to keep saying that to a guy that you want to lead your team, and even if he has to play this year under that franchise tag, it's still going to linger.
Of course.
You keep saying for a year and a half. You just continue to deny somebody, no, we don't believe in you that. We don't think you're that good for that amount of money. We think this is all you're worth. And, you know, for a long time, yeah. Why would you want to stay there? I directly talked to you. You told me to go get an agent, mm-hmm. or you told mm-hmm. me we won't talk to you or we won't pay you that price. Why would I want to stay there? Why would I put my faith in you?
It's an important thing to remember. I know we keep saying he doesn't have representation, he doesn't have an agent. Matt, what you're saying is spot on. It's like, you know that Lamar Jackson is sitting in that room telling them the number, telling them how he feels. Sometimes it's not even about the number. It's how the Ravens might be making him feel. And they continuously, the two sides, cannot reach an agreement. And now the question becomes, which team on the non-exclusive franchise tag can give up two first-round picks mm-hmm. and pay the man what he thinks he deserves? It's a fascinating conversation that we will continue to have with Matt Judon here on Good Morning Football. Sure. Thursday, though, let's talk quarterbacks, ones that are coming into the league. Because on NFL Plus, you can see Anthony Richardson, who takes the field and aims to top his record-setting combine performance before the 2023 NFL Draft. See extended coverage of Florida's Pro Day Thursday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Plus. You can sign up for that at plus.nfl.com. The coverage out of those Pro Days had been awesome. You hear from the college coaches who worked with these young men. There are the sleeves. There's the Judon. A small school player who made it to the big
Let's time.
Go. Oh, man. What other players did the same? Oh, trivia coming our way, Kyle.
I love it. Let's see who gets after it. Plus, First-round pick, projected former Horned Frog, Quentin Johnson joins us next. Playmaker, look at those hands. Oh, McCourty, too late on the play.
Too Steve late on the play. I don't throw McCourty in there.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.